Hello and welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in our backyards, in your community. Today, I'm here with Sandra Bieber. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm excited to learn your story.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you have quite a story, maybe even a few stories that you share here. This is not your first time to WDIY, her story.
That's right.
A little bit earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
And looking forward to learning a little bit more about the premise of that show. And it's actually the first time I've had another host here to be able to share her story, but also share a little bit more about the Lehigh Valley and what makes community home. But you've been in the Lehigh Valley for a long time.
Long time. And first of all, her story, it feels kind of weird being on this end of it, because when you're interviewing people, you feel a little bit of control. So it feels good that I'm here and being able to share all of the experiences and my story with you all and our listeners. But I'll tell you, I've known you for about, over 10 years now, a decade. So we have grown from the young professionals in Allentown, right?
Yep.
And then just seeing you, and congratulations on all your success and what you're doing and making your print on the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
It has. Yeah. What about 2 years
since
now?
Since we've talked like this.
Yeah.
At least 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So
say pre-COVID.
How about it? So it's interesting how the Valley works. So I've been in here my entire life almost, right? So I immigrated here when I was 5 years old from Cairo, Egypt. We came to the Valley and we never left. We never left because the Valley grew with us.
Mm.
So there is so many growth opportunities for us as a family. And I had many opportunities to leave abroad and here in the nation. But I felt like this was home and there's so much to do here, so much work. And what's beautiful about it is the relationships here in the region. Being able to call people for assistance, whether you're looking for nonprofit leadership support, or you're looking for sponsorships, or you're looking to completely do a 180 career change, which I have done, you could find it here.
The relationships are key to making a place feel like home, certainly about building community, and also about kind of navigating through your own world and figuring out what that looks like, as you alluded to. From a career standpoint, your path wasn't necessarily linear, but it certainly got you to a point now, Chief Philanthropy Officer with Community Action Lehigh Valley. But starting in economic development with the Chamber and working with other prominent organizations like New Bethany Ministries, and being able to help most recently with Discover Lehigh Valley and many places in between, probably relationships were a big part of all of those journeys.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you jumped into that?
Yeah. So it's interesting because most folks are like, you just stay in a company or an organization or an industry for as long as you can and just climb your way up. For me, it wasn't linear. And I had the opportunity to meet with people. And my philosophy is, if your work is done, your work is done in that field, in that organization, in that industry. And for me, nonprofits was always circling around. And fundraising, I got bit by the fundraising bug at no other place other than the Chamber of Commerce. So the Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, my first experience fundraising was at a 50-50 raffle for none other than the Women's Business Council for an event that they were having. And there was a packed room of people. And they said, all right, you're an intern, Sandra. This is a good time to showcase what you got. And I said, okay, no problem. So a young 20s Sandra said, all right, I need to give these 50-50 raffles and I need to go around the room and I need to sell these. So within 45 minutes, I come back with $1,500. And they're like, what? So it's... It always followed me because I was able to sell the cause. I was able to, really communicate it in an authentic way that people wanted to get behind and invest in what I was selling. But, for me, I've just been selling amorphous ideas and helping alleviate poverty and alleviate, just help people with food security and help people with really big issues that they're facing in the region. And that's always really what has been at the core of my own heart. I love Discover Lehigh Valley. Discover Lehigh Valley team is great. And their work helped me shape community, my work with community. So the Lehigh Valley Insider, previously Lehigh Valley Ambassador Program, that was a major stepping stone because we brought together over 4,000 individuals that wanted to join our mission to be able to, you know, focus on, hey, I want to go to this business. This business is offering a specific discount to just Lehigh Valley insiders. And it's promoting the Lehigh Valley. It's promoting our region and our backyard to all people. So that's really what my core mission is here, is to support the region.
As much as you're selling ideas or selling a mission or selling experience, that whether it's the nonprofit or the organization that you're working with, so much of that comes down to communication. Like, you've got to be an incredible communicator to, as an intern, A, have that level of success, but then fast forward to this point of your career and really be looked at as, you know, one of the key leaders here, bringing all of those 4,000 some businesses together in Discovery, Lehigh Valley's case, and certainly I'm sure in your role now with CALV.
That's very kind of you. And I'll tell you, I don't take that lightly, because that was the hands and the support of so many different people, right? Guidance, being able to take feedback and say, okay, you're not doing this correctly. You need to work on this. There were so many times where I was kind of nitpicked, if you will, so that I can get to the place that I am now. And it felt like nitpicking. You know, if I can go back 15 years, I could say, hey, you know what? Don't take it personal. This is all a stepping stone to be able to get you to the next spot, the next level. And, you know, for anyone watching that's like, oh, I feel like I'm transitioning or maybe changing jobs a bit, or I'm not finding my groove, like, you will find your voice. You will find the place that you are. And the mission of Community Action Lehigh Valley is to really increase the quality of life in the Lehigh Valley. And we do so by providing economic opportunity for all people. And when we do that, we're able to give these individuals a voice for decisions that's being made, you know, around the table. These are things that are affecting their life. They need a voice in that decision. And so we do that through a myriad of different programs. So, you know, have the Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley, our largest program, 16 million pounds of food delivered in six counties in Pennsylvania: Wayne, Monroe, Pike, Northampton, Lehigh, and Carbon County.
That's even bigger than the quote-unquote Lehigh Valley that most people think of, like,
right?
Those counties.
So you're talking about the northern tier counties that are food deserts, and being able to, like, the 6th Street Shelter, the largest shelter in the Lehigh Valley, and so many other programs like Gen Next that supports students that are first-generation, college-bound individuals from their families. And we help them with SAT prep and college tours and just really getting them ready for that next step. And those are the things that we try to do. We're an anti-poverty nonprofit, so our goal is to help people get out of poverty, right? So giving them the steps and the tools to be able to do that. But that's really a homage to the full track of my career, is to be able to give back and get all of these experience, from marketing to business development, to economic development, to nonprofits development when I was at New Bethany. So there's a lot that can be done here. So
and one area in that string of your history that you pull from that you didn't mention in there is your international background.
Yeah.
You know, coming here at 5 from Cairo, I'm sure there's been other travels, whether it's back to Cairo or other places around since. You mentioned other opportunities. Yeah. But even just here, you've founded or were a founding member of the International Business Council, right, with the Chamber. I think there was an organization at Lehigh. I'm blanking on the name.
Oh, the Lehigh Global.
Global.
Yeah.
So, like, that obviously, at least at one point in your career, was a founding, nurturing component. That how do you bring that into what you're doing now? Because so much of the Lehigh Valley and its community and the population here are also coming from all over the place in the world.
Absolutely.
And part of that plays a factor into some of the socioeconomic components that we have, as they try to just get their feet settled and figured out how to establish, whether it's refugee or asylum or immigration, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, and thank you for pointing that, because in a specific time in my life, I focused on international business with my business partners at Lehigh Global. And we had the opportunity to travel all over. So it was really amazing to be able to see the different cultures. And so cultural competency is a very important thing when you're talking about communication, when you're talking about going into nonprofits, when you're talking about economic development, because you have to be able able to sit across the table from someone and understand what could potentially offend them, what doesn't offend them. How do you bring them in and to make them feel like they're not an outsider? Mm. I sit on the board of Link Lehigh Valley, which is a great organization that helps really acclimate newcomers and bring them into our community, which is their community. And that's one thing that I know, because I was an outsider at some point, right? And being able to be brought in, to the region in a way, and, you know, mentors that took me under their wing, whether it was from business or was it nonprofit, they took me under their wing. And I owe so much. I owe so much to my family as well. You know, my husband, my kids, and my my parents and in-laws and sisters. And I'm very, very grateful. So I think not everybody has that, though, right? So you need to find those opportunities. And if those opportunities come across your way, how can you be that bridge for somebody? That's kind of every day for me. That's what I'm trying to do.
One thing I want to pull out of there, you know, you mentioned your family, and husband and kids. Well, any message for the young lady leaders? Like you mentioned the Women's Business Council also that you were involved in. Like how has, you know, your journey or maybe the impact that other mentees or mentors within the women business community or just community at large helped kind of shape where you've made your path today?
I love that. That's a great question. So I think for women leaders, and I'm just even parents and people that are, you know, struggling with trying to balance, right? Prioritize, you know. For us, it's God, it's family, it's work, and it's community. Those are the four pillars. Mm-hmm. And you ensure that the buckets get filled accordingly. And for me, if my bucket is not filled at home or spiritually, I can't give to my employer. I can't give to my community. And so I look for opportunities to not just mentor, but if someone, for example, they're like, well, you know, you should be here at exactly 7:30 when the thing starts. Or I'm like, no, if I want to drop off my kids or if I want to take my morning to putter around, you have to make time for your mental space, mm-hmm. right? You could put in long nights or early mornings, right? I like the early mornings more than the long nights. And I wake up and I have a routine. Like I'm very routinized like most folks, but I think it's about making sure that your buckets are filled, whichever direction that you are, whether you want to have kids or you don't, whether you do and you need to find balance. I think that's the most important thing is people are like, well, how do you do that? How do you do the balance? You just look at where you have a deficit, right? Where are you overreacting when it comes to emotion or whether you feel really burnt out in a certain subject at work? You just need to put it on pause mm-hmm. and come back to it. You don't need to be fixated on it. Go get other perspective, go get other insight, and come back with fresh eyes, and you'll be able to really soar. And I think that's across the board with everything. It also helps, too, by the way, the communication thing that I went to school to learn how to talk.
Yeah, lastly here, and we are going to take a quick break, but before we do jump in there, you mentioned about routines and you know, how that's critical to filling up your bucket. For you personally, like, what are some of those? I mean, you don't got to give us the dirty details necessarily, but like self-care habits, you know, mental hygiene that you make sure you practice to ensure that bucket stays filled.
Yeah, I think shutting down and being able to just spend quality time with my loved ones. That's really important to me. But one of the things that if I have anxiety or I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, I get my behind in the kitchen and I just make something. And that's something that I can just do repetitively and I can get lost in it. And it helps. My family benefits from it. People benefit from it. And I benefit mentally from it. But everybody has to be out of the kitchen when I'm doing that, though. It's my space. So I'm able to, you know, if I need to fry, I could fry. If I need to bake, I could bake. But that's really
we're cooking and baking.
You know, barely baking. Okay. There's a saying that if you know how to bake, you can't cook, and if you know how to cook, you really can't bake as well. So there's a couple of things that I could bake. I've mastered pita bread making.
Ooh.
That's a very difficult thing to
specialized.
To make. Specialized. That's the only thing I could bake well. What like and maybe some Arabic desserts, but. Pita baking, because it was during the pandemic that everybody was stressed out during the pandemic, but I learned how to get that emotion out on the pita, and I found a perfect recipe, and you never know, maybe I'll have, you know, a bakery soon. Who knows?
Who knows? The sky's the limit. We're heating up here, cooking it up in the kitchen, and we're going to be right back here. I'm Lewis Holzman here with Sandra Bieber on Young Valley Leaders, and we'll see you soon. Louis Holzman here, host of Young Valley Leaders on WDIY 88.1. On my show, I feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard making it happen for themselves and our community. Without listener contributions, hosts like myself couldn't bring these valuable topics and placemakers to Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Donate now to help keep these conversations on the air by calling 610-758-8810 or online at WDIY.org. And we are back. Louis Holzman here with Sandra Bieber on Young Valley Leaders. We're talking about community. We're talking about bacon, pita bread. We're talking about making sure that your buckets are filled with family and loved ones and doing the things that make sure you have the time and the space and the mental energy to push yourself forward, whether that's in your career, whether that is in your social life, or whether it's in the community at large.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm curious about here, Sandra. We've been talking about community a lot. The C word has come up a bunch, but it can mean so many different things.
Yeah.
Macro level, micro level.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know what it means to you, or maybe it's multiple meanings.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I think that community, it boils down to a few different things. It's about feeling at home, even though that you're not near your home, or perhaps you're new to the home. And what I love about this community is that it's, you can make friends fast, and you could find a friend or a mentor or someone that could support you in whatever area that you want. And I think for the Lehigh Valley especially and beyond, it's just about having a human connection with people. And being able to get on that raw human connection and saying, hey, this is, you know, we're here experiencing this all together. How can we make this life better than what we've been experiencing before? And trying to get people outside of their own silos, right? And having discord, but respectful discord, is very important. There is nothing more important for our organizations and our communities to be able to have a dialogue respectfully. I think that's where a lot of the things get mulled over, and it blows over people's heads a lot, is what I'm seeing. So
that perspective has got to hit pretty heavy at Community Action, because they're serving, as you mentioned, so many different counties, let alone the you know, quote unquote Lehigh Valley here. Yeah. And we have so many different urban and rural or suburban, where there's different thinking, there's different needs, there's different, you know, socioeconomics or political components that are going on. So bridging that all together as one, which is our strength, you know, is a challenge that you guys are faced with daily, I imagine.
You know, I think what makes Community Action Lehigh Valley successful is the fact that we've been doing it for over 60 years, and we know how to bridge the gap from a bipartisan view and be able to bring people from all walks of life to come around the table to help support our neighbors that are looking to get to the next step, to get out of poverty. It's a hand up, not a hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that if we could make that stick in people's minds, it's like, oh, you know, it's not a basket that from a pantry that they're getting. It's just a hand up. And everybody in some season in their life will need a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can empathize with this person that you have maybe no affiliation with, then I think you'll walk a little bit lighter in life. And that's kind of the philosophy that runs through our veins at Community Action, but just in my life personally.
I like that. Hand up.
Yeah.
Did you always know that you'd, or always aspire, maybe that's the better way to put it, that you'd want to be leading an organization, whether it's in this way or in any way? Or did that leadership role kind of find itself to you just as you've, you know, heads down doing what you need to do, and you look up and you're like, oh, wow, I'm pretty good at this. Like, or is that, like, what does that mean to you and how you've been able to start
you
know, not only navigating this path, but I imagine there's a good handful of people, young women, men, children that look up to you, not just your kids, I'm sure certainly your kids, that go, wow, like she's like really carved the path out that I can follow in my own ways.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to be looked at in that way. Because a lot of the times, you know, the broken heels on the sidewalks, right, and pounding the pavement, sometimes it feels a little bit defeating.
Mm.
But it's, I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, and I come from a long line of
blood.
Gritty, you know, people that, you know, we scraped our way up. And for me, all I know how to do is just wake up yesterday is behind me. If it was a hard day, it was yesterday. But today I'm just going to wake up. It's a new slate. It's a new set of opportunities. Even if it's a hard day to get through, I'm going to find the good in it. Mm. And for me, I'm a call monster. Like, I will call folks just to say hi, just to check in, because you never know what you're going to uncover.
Keeps
you're
the relationship going better.
It does. And also, it just even like liking something or supporting folks. So I always clap for folks, always. Because I know that when it's my turn, some people are going to clap for me. So clap until it's your turn, right? And clap until it's your turn. And clap until it's your turn. And I did a lot of that, a lot of that. And I was in seasons where I just didn't know if I wanted to lead. I'd wanted to take a back step. And I was grateful when I was executive director at the Association of Fundraising Professionals during the pandemic. I was able to learn so much about fundraising by being around some of the best fundraisers in our state, in our nation, right? And I was able to just dig down, and while my kiddos were very little, I was able to learn. So even though I didn't understand that season, I took a step back from leading, quote unquote, and I was able to learn. And you're gonna have seasons like that, where you're just like, I gotta just take a step back and maybe just allow others to lead, and then you know, I'll be able to lead in some way. My husband said this to me one time. It was one of his mentors said it. And he said, you can't lead without learning how to follow first. And that was like, and when I first heard it, I was like, follow. I was like, I don't follow. I'm a firstborn. I don't follow anything. But it took me a couple of years to understand that. And following means listening to someone when you ask for advice, and then being able to get that advice and take that in and actually do something with that.
Making sure you're able to internalize that followership.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
And making sure that then you're able to then internalize it appropriately so that you can actually execute it out in the real world.
That's right.
Right?
And that's right.
Otherwise, it's just kind of in one ear, out the next.
Couldn't agree more. And
it's not blind following either, right?
No.
Like, that's not, we're not just like, go ahead.
You're
like,
taking what, you're watching what they're doing. You're following. And you're able to see, hey, I like what they're doing. I don't like what they're doing here. I could take it and I could make it work from my end. And that's kind of just been the whole career trajectory, and just being able to watch people and see how they do it, how they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best
leadership is almost the...
That's exactly right. You watch leaders who don't know how to do it and you're like, yikes, I don't want to do this. This is not what I want to implement. But those folks that inspire me and put a light in my heart, I always thank them for that. But I also pray a lot too. So that's my faith is a big part of why I do what I do. And I wouldn't be anywhere without prayer, without my mama's prayer, my people around me that pray for me and help. So that's really what my.
If you don't believe it, whether it's praying on it, some other people will. Like meditate on it. Like there's all different levels of what prayer may mean to someone.
Yeah,
but if you're not doing that for yourself and pushing those thoughts to become things, whether that's physically saying them or not, it doesn't, again, it's kind of special to you how you do
that's
that.
Right.
They're never going to come to reality. Like you're just, they come reality up here first.
Yeah. There was a special quote, and I'm not going to be able to mention the name because we're right on the fly, and when you think it, you also become it, right?
So thoughts
when
become
you
things.
So when you envision something and you could see a path forward and it's crystal clear, it has to be crystal clear almost, right? You're like, I can almost taste it. You know that you can work your way towards it. And then you'll be able to solicit some support from friends or somebody that has, a marketing background or a digital marketing background that, you want to, for example, you want to have cameras for your podcast, right? For Her Story, I did the same thing. You did the same thing. I kind of watched what you did. I was like, I like Lois's, what he got going on here. I said, I like those camera setups. I like how he did that. And I watched and I did my podcast similar. And so those are you don't know what you're affecting, right? And you're able to grow around that. So definitely surround yourself with some good people that have good ideas and good hearts to be able to, to get you to the next level.
It's very, very, very rare that something truly novel and for the first time ever has been done before. I mean, it does come up, right, here and there, and those become massively big things usually. But usually over the last, 2 to 10,000 years, yeah. somebody has already done what you're trying to do in some shape or form. And, you know, they leave breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
They leave, like, if not even breadcrumbs, like legitimately written out novels on how
Correct.
They did it. And if you go seek out that knowledge, like, you can't unlearn that once you do and be
that's
like, oh,
right.
that's not going to work. Like, you adapt it to your life, you adapt
that's
it
right.
to the time that you're living in and what might be applicable. But
yeah.
a lot of it's there. It's just going out. And not only ingesting the follow, but then digesting it and pushing it out there for the action of doing.
I love that. I love that because that's history. And I'm a history buff. So I was, when I was in college, I said I wanted to be a historian. So when I went to Northampton Community College, I got my general or my liberal arts and history concentration and history. So history was it. I was like, I'm going to be a professor one day. And so I think that we can learn so much from our history. And the Valley is rich in history.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt is very, very rich in history.
I mean, that's just a different
that's
level.
A different level. But it's still rich in history. And so when you dive in, you're able to hear the stories of how people lived here, what they've done, you know, what they've contributed to society. And we will be part of history. It's just crazy to say what, you know, we're young now, but we'll be part of history too. And so it's like, what mark are you going to leave on this earth? Is it going to be a loving one? Is it going to be a kind one? Is it going to be something that, you know, they're going to look back and be like, this is, you know, they really did their best to help move our humanity forward?
Or are you just going to be an unmemorable one that was just there?
Yeah. And that's fine too.
That's fine too.
That really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really, and that's the beauty of it, is that it's how you leave your legacy, whether it's with, you know, five people that loved you, or just your family, your intimate family, or you're famous or wherever you are. It's do the best that you can with the lot that you are given.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way that, you know, that's we should all live and be, you know, kind in that way to each other.
All right. Change it up a little bit. I want to talk about, you know, some things that you do here in and around the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
What do you do for fun? Are there any hidden gems or best kept secrets? Anything that you think people listening in should know about?
In the Lehigh Valley, what I love is the nature preserves. Like, we have so many nature preserves here. One thing that I've been getting into and I love is a little bit of gardening. I'm not a full blown gardener, so don't think that I'm a gardener at all. I have
farm
pots.
To table with your kitchen.
Yeah, so I have basil now. I have parsley. I have cilantro. I have plum tomatoes.
Cool.
San Marzano tomatoes. Excuse me. So in my little pots. But I got that inspiration from the Seed Farm, which is a program of community action.
Yep.
And I love it. It's a really neat little program that supports farmers. So it's actually on Lehigh County land. Preserve farmlands. And those are things that really bring me joy, bring my family joy. And I love to go out, you know, whether it's, I love Lehigh Valley Zoo. Lehigh Valley Zoo is adorable. It's one of the best kept secrets in the region. If you've ever seen bison before, you can go through the Trexler Nature Game Preserve and go up there. It's really neat. It's almost like, it's like a little holy for me, candidly, because you get to see these wonderful beasts, and they're just peaceful, and you see so many, the rolling plains, and you see so many, you know, just wildlife and flowers and things. It's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing that we've been able to continue to preserve that
yes.
space over the last centuries, I guess, really.
Yeah.
But as it's come into our form over the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, shout out to the Seed Farm. We did a corporate event there.
Yes. Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah. With my company. And,
yeah.
and we all really, really enjoyed that. And it was the first time for many of us out there. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Got our hands dirty pulling some garlic. So,
I mean, those are really good. And those garlics are going to go to pantries all throughout our region. So that's awesome. And so, like, you see that those are the partnerships, like those small relationships start to build, and you're able to, you know, support these really neat nonprofits and programs and just experiences in the region. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up here talking about the community, any last final advice, comments, words of strength, encouragement for our listeners?
When you said that, what came to mind was be yourself. Just be who you are. Whether you stutter, whether you are a great communicator or not, whether you're good at something or not yet, be yourself. And if you can, dive into who you are, and that authenticity translates well with people, and they feel that they could be their authentic self, and they feel welcome when you put your airs down and you're able to just chill And good things come from that. So that's all that I say. And congratulations to you, because this is an excellent podcast, and it gives voices to young leaders. And so I'm honored to be here.
Thank you, Sandra. Yeah. Honored to be sitting across the table from you. Now, 10 years ago, yeah. 10 years and more to come. Thank you for taking the time here to be on Young Valley Leaders.
Absolutely.
And again, want to thank everyone here in the room. Shout out Matt with the video work. Been a critical element to disseminating in another form, yes, outside of just the radio waves.
Yes.
James, Seamus, and all the good folks here at WDIY, allowing us the time and space for our stories to come to life.
That's right.
And helping to push this across the airwaves and much, much more. My name is Lewis Holzman. I'm here with Sandra Beaver. And until next month.